This week, we honor the memory of Marcia Norris and her 17-year-long battle against cancer. The following show is taped prior to the Norris Group's fundraising event, I Survived Real Estate, which benefited breast cancer research. Thank you for your support and prayers. Marcia will be greatly missed and forever loved. We were so privileged to have her in our lives. September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaw, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today we're going to take a little bit of a break from what we normally do, and we're going to talk about the I Survived Real Estate event that we have for September 11th. And live in studio with me is Aaron Norris, who's pretty much the brainchild behind that event, and Marcia, my wife, who's really the reason that we're doing it. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Marcia, we first heard the word breast cancer attached to your name in 1995. Do you recall that day that we were at that doctor's office, and what kind of emotions hit you that day?
Yes, I do remember. Fear, anxiety, just terror.
And that lasted about 24 hours, and then something else kicked in.
Yes. I don't tend to dwell on the negative for very long. I give myself a little downtime, and then I'm ready to get up and see what I can do to help myself.
And so that kind of kicked off probably several weeks, if not months, of intense studying, and it seems like we went to a fair amount of doctors before we hit somebody that we were comfortable with.
I think we went to about four total. Yeah, but I did a lot of research and reading before we even did that.
And one of the things that was, I guess, comfortable at when we went to UCLA was it felt like we were being treated as people, and you were being treated by a group of people that had different expertises that were dealing with not just cancer, but you as a person and the emotional issues and the whole package.
Yes, Dr. Susan Love headed that up at the time. And she had a whole team of doctors, and they treated you as a complete person, not the disease.
That attitude that you have, how important do you think that is, and how successful you've been in surviving what you've been up against?
To me, it's crucial. I mean, because if you allow negativity to draw you down, it immobilizes you. It keeps you in a place that's very, very bad. So you have to research and study, but you know, you have to be your own cheerleader. You have to get up and go, okay, now what can I do for myself? Where do I find the team that I need that will help me?
It's real important to believe in the choices that you've made yourself rather than be told by a doctor this is the protocol.
Oh, absolutely. You have to believe in your doctor, and I believe in working with traditional medicine as well as complementary. I think they work well together. But yes, you have to be comfortable with what's happening and not let the doctors per se have the lead. You have to believe in what's going to work for you.
Do you think most people that encounter cancer for the first time are that independent, or do they just do what they're told?
No, I believe they are so fearful that they just want to have the doctors fix them. So they hand their life over to their doctor, and I think that's the first mistake.
You didn't do much of that in the beginning.
No, I wasn't very popular with the doctors.
You know, it's interesting. We go through sometimes we go to new doctors, and there's an assumption that these other things have happened. So they go, okay, well, how were the lymph nodes tests? We never had the lymph nodes tested. And they're going, how could that happen? And, you know, it's very interesting. Now they don't even do it because they know that's not.
Well, some doctors still do, but I did have one doctor tell me that in the future that they would no longer do that.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that you were stubborn about actually came about to be non-necessary or even negative.
Right.
That's just a very important thing to have watched this process as it's played out, that your instincts and also a lot of the effort that you've put in has really been correct. You know, this year, about a year has passed since we did the first I Survived Real Estate event. And in August, you know, we were attending the event, fully planning on going for the walk. And between that event and the walk, you had a broken arm.
Yep. Took a very bad fall and broke my right arm, which is my dominant arm. And that immobilized me quite a bit.
Yeah. It didn't almost prevent you from going to Egypt about 3 weeks later. I don't know that anything stops you from doing much of anything.
No, broken arm and all. I was determined I was going to go.
We're doing a new treatment now. And I think part of what is so amazing is the emotional roller coaster that cancer takes you on. I remember the first surgery we did. You remember coming home from the first surgery? You were hungry. Do you remember where we went?
Yes, we went to Claim Jumper.
Yeah, so we're just done with surgery, and she's got to have a gigantic lunch. And at that point, I remember myself thinking, okay, you know, we're going to be able to deal with this. And then 2 days later, we get told, okay, well, that's not a clear margin, and we have to go get another surgery. And then that day, I realized, oh, my goodness, you know, we're up against something very tough. And it's that swing from happy to relieved to, oh, my goodness, wow, 14 years of that, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, it can be very draining on you, definitely.
The place that we're going to treatments right now, there's been a new word that's emerged as we sit there and get treatments, and that's remission. And
right. In
the world that we've been experiencing so far, remission has never been part of the vocabulary.
Never.
And that's, to have hope is a very important thing. When you look at the people next to you and they've come through something just like you have, and they're hearing that word for the first time attached to their name. That's an exciting day to watch, huh?
Oh, it's very encouraging, too, to have people around you go, yeah, I'm in remission. I'm just coming here to make sure it doesn't come back, and I only come once every 3 months or something like that, yeah.
As you sit back at other places, you've never taken chemotherapy, but you've had other treatments where you've taken intravenous things, and you're next to people that are in chemotherapy, and the conversations are much different there than they are at this place?
Oh, most definitely. They are completely drained. They're very sick. They are very depressed, usually, because they've lost everything. I remember one man saying, well, I have nothing else to lose. I've lost my home. You know, I've lost my job. I have nothing else to lose except for my life.
Hmm. It seems like every attempt that you've made is always an attempt to live where there's a lot of other people that are doing treatments preventing death. And that mental outlook is a very different outlook.
Right. Well, I feel like there's always hope. As long as I'm feeling as well as I do, that there's always hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope.
You had a recent experience where we started this new treatment and you lost some hair. And so there was a day that you went and decided that you would shave your head and get wigs. most people would handle that very differently than you did. So how did you end up handling that?
Well, I took my best friend with me, Diana, and she almost cried on me. And I said, don't do that to me. I said, I'm choosing to do this. It's starting to fall out. So we're just going to shave it and get it over with. And I think I bought 3 wigs that day. So I had a...
And you made a game of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just hair. It grows back, you know.
And Aaron made a game of the wigs as well. You've named each of them.
Not all of them appropriate for the air, but yeah. Corporate Marcia, Sashy Marcia, they all have a different personality. So depending on what she's wearing, we know what to expect.
You know, when people hear that you have cancer, they're expecting a certain demeanor that they don't get. And right. and that's especially if we've been away from a group of people, like we'll visit someplace we haven't been for a while, and they know you've been battling cancer for 10 years. They're expecting something then and getting completely surprised by something else. That must make you feel really good.
It does. I mean, they look at me and they go, well, you don't look sick.
You're not acting
sick. Like, well, this is good.
You have an interesting way of starting each of your days.
Absolutely. I wake up thanking God every day for another day. And for the little things that I'm able to do again since I have the use of my right hand back.
You know, that's, I guess, when you have something like that happen, that you do start appreciating the things that seem so commonplace and all of a sudden they're not. When we came in today, there was someone at the radio station, Barbie, that said, I have a friend that has cancer. How often does that happen to you where somebody comes up to you and says, I have a friend or I have a relative that just got diagnosed. What do I do?
It's happened several times. A very good friend of ours has two friends that are going through cancer, and they're going through traditional chemotherapy, and they're both very sick. And she was wondering if there's information for them. So I've been able to pass along what's been helpful for me. And I've offered to talk to them anytime they need somebody to talk to.
You're known kind of in our family as a walking encyclopedia. You know that, of course.
Yes.
So you're going to get your share of referrals. Is that draining as well, though?
No, not anymore.
It used to be, though.
It used to be when I was at a certain spot, and it is no longer. I'm very grateful for my life, and so I'm very willing to share any information that will help anybody else.
That's fantastic. When most people think of cancer, they think of an oncologist, and we do have an oncologist or two on our team, but we also seem to have about 10 other people. So you've amassed quite a support system within the physician field and the therapy field. And how important do you think that is to have hand-selected many different places that you can get help?
I think it's very important because you have to look at treating cancer from a lot of different views. There's not just the medications. There's nutritional support. There's other support, whether it's massage therapy or acupuncture or chiropractic or whatever it is that you need to help you get relief from pain or just to make you feel better and to help you tolerate things like chemotherapy and radiation better.
Your day sometimes I watch and it's rather overwhelming to see the regimen that you follow. I mean, if you did it all at once every day, you'd have no other part of your day but taking pills and so forth. But still, your mental outlook is always positive.
Well, I'm still here, you know. So that's one thing to be grateful for. And if whatever is working well, I'm holding my own right now. The therapy that I am getting is working. They're going to need to tweak it a little bit specifically for me, which we just took a special blood test to find out what maybe drugs would work even better for me. Mm-hmm. But overall, it can be a long day of taking a lot of supplements and eating a certain way, but it becomes a lifestyle after a while. It does get tiring occasionally, I have to say.
And you have to have your burger every
You have
once
to have
while.
A burger, that's right.
Yes, once in a while I do have to have a burger, but...
Sometimes our kids have come to me on their own and said, does Mom still have cancer? I mean, certainly right now there's times that it's obvious, but it's very rarely been obvious, and they really didn't know. Maybe it had gone away or something, because they can't tell by looking at your attitude toward life that you're in some negative place, because you never are.
Right. Well,
it helps a lot. I mean, just so you know, family.
If I feel good and act good, then everybody around me is much better off. And so
that is true. Yeah, it's tough for all of us when we know that it's a tough time. Aaron, you've watched your mom deal with this for a long time.
Yeah.
And from a son's perspective, you know. You must be real proud of how she's dealt with this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how she does it, and year after year, and it just she takes everything with stride, and it's just amazing to me. Strength and persistence, flat-out stubbornness. I don't know what it is that keeps you going. We've had the conversation before. I think the last surgery, it was, don't hang on because of us. It's just, if you're tired of fighting, we understand. I mean, it's 14 years. I don't know if I was in the same situation, if I would be able to fight as long. And yeah. She's just amazing. Just, and the two of you work together, and it's so you know, the partnership that you guys do and the support. And it's hard sometimes working in a place that's so emotionally charged. You know, we work with your best friend Diana at the company and Dad, and when it gets hard, it gets hard.
Yeah, there's sometimes tears are around the office, and you know,
and we're all rooting. And you've got the whole. I think that's what makes this event so important for me. And Dad is so loved, and it's. You get so many flowers and cards and questions about Mom. Every event I ever go to, they're always wanting to know how you are. And this is almost like a cheating way to get everybody updated and do something good and hit several birds with one stone.
What was the reaction last year to the event? I mean, I know a lot of people didn't know what to expect.
They were confused. I think it's so different in our industry. I get yelled at least once a month by people confused that we don't do advertising on the radio show. And then this was something very different than what was expected, and it was very difficult to explain how we were doing it. No, our partners and us are paying for the event. If you just join the walk, if you just, you know, donate to our walk, you can come with no money out of pocket if you can raise the funds. So we're trying to figure out ways to explain that better this year, and already the support has been overwhelming. So this year, the panel lineup was my dream team. I wasn't expecting it, and we actually had one extra person say yes that I wasn't expecting. So it's a pretty packed event, but no, last year was a little bit difficult trying to get people to understand what we were doing, and we're just really trying to be a service and help a good cause, and I'm very excited about this year.
And I'll bet you, Marcia, you'll be able to walk on this one.
Absolutely. I'm going to walk.
Early on, when we first got married, someone in your family had cancer and had a very different approach to it than you have had. Did that give you some reason to react differently to it, you think?
I think so, because it was my dad, and he died of lung cancer at a very early age. He was like 38. And to see him just give up, you know, granted there wasn't as much education, and he wasn't a very educated man either, so he didn't do any reading, but he would tell people, I have cancer, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of attitude is just so self-defeating that I thought, I couldn't believe that he'd give up that easy, because I had two younger brothers yet to be raised. And it just was really hard on them as well. But, I mean, you and I were already married, and I thought, if that ever happened to me, I wouldn't give up like that.
How do you finish the sentence, I have cancer, and
I have hope.
And I have hope.
I have hope.
That's a very different day.
Yep.
What have you learned about yourself?
I learned a lot about myself, especially about strength, because sometimes you don't know how strong a person you can be until you're actually faced with this type of adversity. And I don't let doctors push me around. They can give me their opinion, their professional opinion, but if I have questions, I am going to question them. If they don't like it, then I find another doctor.
I enjoy that, because I'm sure often they're very surprised how much you know.
They're surprised how much she knows, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and you know what? I have a wonderful oncologist, and she has just been so supportive. Even though she's very traditional UCLA doctor, she's very open to allowing me to try whatever it is that I feel that I need to try.
Dr. Bosserman has been awesome. She really has, because she does come from the traditional side, but she has always been supportive of your decisions to try things, even if she would probably not take that route herself. She's always supported you. What do you need from me?
Right.
And she's been really a breath of fresh air, again, from some other negative experiences. You know, part of it is just the caring level is just there, where there's sometimes you just don't feel that's true.
Right.
And that's a big deal. Have you found out who your real friends are sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. When the chips are down, you find out who sticks around for you. And I have been so blessed, we have a great family that's been a great support to me, our kids, our grandkids, our parents, but my best friends as well. Yes, and the ones that I thought were friends, this kind of scared them. They didn't know how to react, and they just kind of fell away. And, you know, that's okay, too.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. It's okay not to go the distance if that's what they want to do. But I have watched those two women especially come to the fore and really be like sisters.
Oh, and, absolutely. And I don't know what I would do without them, because as close as we are with our family, and you are a terrific support to me, women need women. We just do.
Yeah. What do you hope your family learns from watching you go through this experience?
I would hope that they have the ability to have the strength and the courage to withstand things like this as well. and to look for the right type of support and where they put their faith.
If someone gets diagnosed with cancer tomorrow, what is the first thing you would suggest they begin to do?
Tough question.
It is a tough question.
Yeah.
But a lot of people get that news just like we
did.
Well,
you know, what I did was I had a good cry. I went home, took a nap. I got up and told you to take me to lunch. And the first thing I did was head to the bookstore.
We go to eat every time something stressful happens. Surgery, bad cancer news.
Comfort food.
Food is love.
No, but I guess, you know, the very first thing is I would tell somebody, don't panic. You know, this didn't happen overnight. You're going to have a little time. So educate yourself before you start choosing your team and choose it wisely. Research your doctors.
Probably referrals would be a good idea.
Absolutely, absolutely. And personally, I would want to go, as I've done, the non-toxic route as much as possible first and leave the traditional for last resort.
But you have blended it wisely because mm-hmm. there's some times that world has to be accessed.
Oh, absolutely, because I've had radiation now several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's solve the pain level. I mean, there's times where the pain's been solved by that, where I don't know how else we would have done it.
No, I don't either. Like I say, I think they work very well together, but I was also working with a nutritionist to make sure that the damage from the radiation was healed much quicker without a lot of side effects.
Also, there were some things that you did with some kind of bath that eliminated a lot of the illness.
Right, the toxic effect with the Epsom salts bath, right. That was given to me by a nutritionist and also by another massage therapist.
I remember when you used to go in for a treatment, and usually as that treatment progresses, people kind of get a little sicker as it goes along, and you would go into where you were getting this treatment, and you would look like a sales rep almost compared to everyone else that was sitting there. They were really feeling pretty lousy. And when you suggested that maybe this would be good to pass on to those patients, there wasn't too much openness.
No, the doctor just looked at me. He says, well, whatever works for you, you know. Yeah. But there was a woman in there that was going through radiation. She had her esophagus burned. She was very sick. She was already very thin to begin with. And I told her about the Epsom salts bath after each treatment. Well, when I saw her about 2 weeks later, she says, I thank God you told me about that because I've started doing it, and I feel so much better. I can actually eat and hold my food down. And she says, my family's even started using Epsom salts bath just to feel better.
Aaron, we got about a minute and a half left. Why don't you give us just an idea of what we can expect on September 11th and how people can join us.
Okay, September 11th is going to be a formal dinner event, tux preferred, but not required. We relaxed it a little bit last year, too. So, hey, if Mike Cantu can wear a tux, you know, anybody can. it's sort of a who's lineup of who's in the industry, and this is sort of the launch of the event. And every week after this, we'll be interviewing either one of the panelists, and I think we might have one extra person from Wall Street, talk about stimulation and regulation in the current real estate market. And just trying to understand what's going on, and sometimes we get caught off guard by some legislation that's gone through that really changes the business in which we live in. So we feel it's really important. People can get involved by going to the website isurvived2009.com. And there's two ways you can really help out. You can either donate. We're actually getting pretty full right now. You can donate to our walk. All the proceeds at this point go directly to the Komen Foundation. People are making a direct donation to our walking team. If they raise $2,000, they can become a gold sponsor. If they raise $5,000, they can be a platinum sponsor. Or individuals can do $200 directly to our walk team or join our walk and raise it within their network to be able to attend for no money out of pocket.
Okay.
And that's isurvive2009.com.
All right. Well, thank you, both of you, for joining me. So proud of both of you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalmay Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, the Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors, Inland Valley Chapter, To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.